The Houston Astros drama continues. Cleveland's starting pitchers violate coronavirus protocol, and Charlie Blackmon is on fire. I'm Bensie Gisser, and this is World of Baseball. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 44 of the World of Baseball podcast. Bensie Gisser with you here. We're going to jump right into this episode. I am not going to plug the website because I know you guys are all just going to go to the website and check out the latest news about the World of Baseball podcast. Anyway, so there's no reason for me to say, hey, go to the website because you guys are going to do it. Let's jump right into this. The MLB was a mess this week. There were so many things that went down. The first thing I want to talk about is obviously the Houston Astros debacle for the second straight episode, but this is a different debacle that has to do with the Houston Astros. This happened against the Oakland Athletics. Ramon Laureano, the center fielder for the Oakland Athletics, was playing in the series opener against the Houston Astros, where he got thrown at and hit in the arm. And the next game, he got hit again. And then in the third game, he got hit a third time. And on his way over to first base, he had some words with the, I guess, hitting coach for the Houston Astros, a man named Alex Cintron, who told him to come and fight him, essentially. So Laureano got a little triggered, ran over to Cintron, and proceeded to get knocked down by a wall of Houston Astros who blocked Alex Cintron. A whole brawl ensued. Very bad thing. Doesn't look good on the MLB. The entire brawl ensued, and suspensions were handed out. Ramon Laureano for 5 games, and Alex Cintron for 20 games. So obviously the Houston coach was given a worse suspension because obviously he's a coach and he shouldn't be doing things like instigating a fight with a player. No one should be doing that, especially not a coach, especially not a role model for a team. And he did instigate the fight, so he got a 20-game suspension. Let's break it down a little bit. So this happened, and obviously Laureano's definitely fed up with the Astros, and the Astros hit him 3 times. So he was pretty disappointed in the fact that they hit him. And he definitely had some choice words to say to the pitcher who had hit him 2 out of those 3 times. And Alex Cintron, the Astros hitting coach, was clearly looking for a brawl. He was clearly looking for a fight, and it happened. And the MLB was right to suspend both of them. Suspend Laureano for 5 games, that's totally fair, and suspend Cintron for 20 games, which I think is fair as well. I agree with those calls, but what I do not agree with is the fact that the teams brawled. I could not believe that that happened. I was honestly shocked that during coronavirus the teams would actually go after each other anyway. We've seen coronavirus ravage the league, nearly shut down the league, with the Miami Marlins all getting coronavirus, and then the Philadelphia Phillies all getting coronavirus, and other teams getting, or was it the Phillies? It might have been the Phillies. Yeah, the Phillies got, and so did the Cardinals. The Cardinals got a big-time coronavirus. They're still postponing games because of it, and these guys have the audacity to go fight each other, and it's a coach that starts it. In my opinion, that was totally ridiculous. I did not expect to see that, and when I saw it, I was honestly shocked. It did not make me happy, and it doesn't look good for the MLB, because look at the MLB, a league that's already struggling with fan ratings and fan reviews, and people aren't watching. Oh, another thing that's going to hit him is the only thing that makes the press is the fact that they're not following coronavirus protocol, and they're not in a bubble or anything like that, and their guys are brawling and hitting each other and fighting. It was a crazy brawl. You saw Martin Maldonado, I believe the catcher for the Houston Astros, go into the middle of the pile and just lose his helmet, and an Oakland Athletics player walked away with the helmet. It was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. John Boy Media has a fantastic breakdown of the brawl if you guys want to go check it out. But basically, those suspensions were handed out. This is in a long list of things that the Houston Astros have been struggling with this year. The Astros have been hated by the entire league since obviously they came out as cheaters. Well, they didn't come out as cheaters. The league exposed them as cheaters. People believe their punishment wasn't fair. They barely got punished. Not a single one of their players was suspended. So guys are obviously hating on the Houston Astros right now, and rightfully so. Speaking of the Houston Astros, one thing that a lot of people are doing are consolidating up to hate on Jose Altuve, who's having a terrible start to the season. It's actually now like one quarter of the season. We're really blazing through the games. The season's like almost over when you think about it. Jose Altuve is being hated on by fans. He had a game in Oakland where he made like 3 errors in the same game, had a couple glance off his glove, dropped one in the outfield, and then made an errant throw to first, and people were trolling it. And in my opinion, it was hilarious. I'm okay with that type of trolling. When it gets physical, it's not necessarily the coolest thing. In terms of Astros getting hit by pitches, it is not as much as you'd expect it to be. You'd think they'd get hit a little bit more, but due to the suspension that was handed out to Joe Kelly, I think it's calmed some pitchers down, and they don't want to go after the Houston Astros hitters as much as they did originally, knowing that the MLB is still going to have their backs. Why? I don't know. But they're still going to have their backs. Speaking of the suspension to Joe Kelly, he appealed the suspension and had it lowered to 5 games, which is good for him, and I believe good for the fans of Joe Kelly, who are mad that he got suspended at all for not even hitting a player. Joe Kelly was initially suspended for 8 games, as we remember, for throwing at Carlos Correa, for throwing at Alex Bregman up and in on him during a game against the Astros. Obviously, it was Dodgers-Astros, and he got suspended for 8 games. They shortened it to 5 games for the potential hit by pitch, and Kelly's fans are happy about that. I think that's fair. He didn't actually hit anyone. A 5-game suspension seems fair for that. I'm not necessarily sure I'm pro suspension at all for it, but if you're going to suspend him, the appeal definitely makes sense and definitely lower the suspension time, which is good with me. So that's the Astros drama. We're going to see how the Houston Astros situation plays out over the rest of the season. You know I'm going to be covering it here on the World of Baseball podcast. It's interesting to see what happens with them. They're in the news every other night because of something that's done to them. When the Diamondbacks started hitting them, they were in the news for that. And if nothing happens to them that game, it's people making fun of Jose Altuve for swinging and missing like crazy and making errors in the field and having an awful start to the season. I mean, honestly, the Astros deserve this. They don't deserve to get physically harmed, but they do deserve to have a bad season. I honestly hope they have a bad season. Guessing is better than guessing is a lot easier. It's a lot harder than knowing. As I believe Oral Hershiser said, I'm not entirely sure who made the quote, but one of the Dodgers announcers made a hilarious quote stating after Altuve struck out that guessing is easier than knowing. It's been funny with the Houston Astros. That's what I got to say on the Houston Astros. Moving on to the Cleveland Indians, my team, who have let me down yet again. First of all, they're losing like crazy. That's a topic for another time. Maybe I'll do another State of the Indians address. We'll see if that happens. They lost 2 to the Cubs back-to-back. Jason Kipnis played his former team. It was interesting to see. It's fun. It's all good. But the Indians lost those games, and they're sitting at 4th in their division, which is utterly ridiculous. But the real blow to them comes through Mike Clevinger and Zach Plesac, who were absolute idiots over the weekend. And I'll say that, and I will hold that ground. They were completely ridiculous. Here's the lowdown. Zach Plesac had a fantastic start against the Chicago White Sox. After that start, he went out and partied a little bit, got a few drinks with Mike Clevinger, violating coronavirus protocol for the team. What happens? The team found out because of some security footage that Zach Plesac was out having drinks, and they questioned him about it, and he got sent home. Mike Clevinger was there with him. Mike Clevinger threw the blame on him, kind of threw him under the bus, didn't say anything about it. Plesac got sent home, and it was found out afterward that Mike Clevinger, the Indians pitcher as well, was also there with him. So obviously the whole world turned on Clev, rightfully so. They sent him home as well, and now not only are the Indians missing 2 of their top 5 starting pitchers, their starting rotation, they're missing 2 quality pieces of their starting rotation indefinitely until the Indians decide to let them back onto the team. They also threatened the league with violating coronavirus protocol, and they threatened an individual teammate who's coming off a battle with leukemia, which is Carlos Carrasco, who does not want to get coronavirus anyway, but is playing for the sake of the team, for the sake of the Cleveland Indians. It was a ridiculous move on behalf of Plesac and Carrasco. Honestly, disgusting. Honestly, I lost all respect for both of them. They took zero consideration of what their actions would do. Clevinger did issue an apology, but everyone issues an apology after the whole world attacks them for being a horrible teammate. And I honestly lost all respect for both of them. Yes, I would like to see them back pitching for the Indians because I want to see the Indians win in terms of moves that they made to ensure that they would still have a 5-man rotation. Adam Plutko is going to be in that rotation for the foreseeable future, as well as Logan Allen, one of their top prospects who they called up from minor league in East Lake, wherever they're doing their minor league training. It's going to be interesting to see how a top prospect like Logan Allen fits in to a pretty strong Cleveland rotation, even without Clevinger and Plesac. That being said, this is all really sad for the Cleveland Indians. It just doesn't help them. It doesn't help anyone. And again, it puts another bad image on the MLB, which is why this week has been an absolute mess. This season has started off looking like an absolute mess. Yes, it's fun to watch baseball again, but the MLB really needs to clean up their act. And before I talk about some good things happening in the MLB, I would like to talk about blackout restrictions. Yes, I did not mention it in the podcast introduction, but I will say that the MLB Network, MLB TV blackout restrictions for teams within the 3-hour radius of where you live is absolutely ridiculous. When I was living in Columbus, I'm currently not living in Columbus because I'm on a gap year program, but when I was, the Cleveland Indians, the Cincinnati Reds, and the Pittsburgh Pirates were all blacked out for me. What's the point in getting MLB TV if you can't watch the team that you're in the same city as? If the MLB wants to mass market, if the MLB wants to actually market baseball better, they have to make it accessible to not only the people who are, for some reason, San Francisco Giant fans in the middle of Florida, because there's no blackout restriction there. You have to be able to watch your team if you want to watch your team. The MLB controls the rights to baseball, and they should work with the networks on getting it out more effectively. Honestly, I think it's a shame that the MLB hasn't done something about this earlier, but now that it's really picking up on Twitter and other social media platforms, the MLB might have to give it a second glance. That's along with many other things that I want the MLB to change. If you want to hear about my complete list of changes for the MLB, you could check out the rant episode where I rant about how the MLB is not doing a great job at making baseball marketable to the future generation, to the next generation of baseball watchers under the age of 90 years old. Moving right along to now some cooler stuff. This short season is going to have a lot of interesting things happen in it. For example, the Miami Marlins are good in this season. They outslugged the Toronto Blue Jays 14-11 yesterday in what was a really awesome game to watch the highlights of. I didn't watch the game, I watched the highlights. And this team is actually crushing the baseball. It's really, really awesome to see. The Baltimore Orioles are surprisingly better than you'd think they were. Jose Iglesias is hitting really well for them. I believe .375, which is honestly unreal. But the biggest surprise in the MLB, which isn't the hugest surprise, but it's a pretty big surprise, Charlie Blackman. Charlie Blackman's always been good. He's always been like a top 20 fantasy pickup in any league that he's in. I think I picked him with my first overall pick a couple years ago in fantasy. Charlie Blackman is a good baseball player, but right now he is unreal. Charlie Blackman is hitting at a clip of .472. I believe if he hits .360 for the rest of the season, he will have a .400 batting average. He'd be the first and only player since Ted Williams to hit .400 in a season. And honestly, a lot of people see that he could do this. A lot of people think that Charlie Blackman may have a shot at hitting .400 this year, which would be absolutely epic. Obviously, it'd be tainted due to the lack of games in the season. If you play less games, the chances of you having a higher batting average is a lot easier. Once the games really start getting drawn out and you hit your midseason slump and you get hot and you get cold and you get hot and you get cold, that same thing won't apply. There's no way that a player will ever hit .400 again in a regular 162-game season, which we'll hopefully have next year. But this year, it's quite possible. Charlie Blackman seems like the most legitimate candidate to do it. He's absolutely red hot right now. He's basically hitting half the baseballs that come his way. Half of his at-bats are turning into hits. He's having an unreal season. He's going to start getting intentionally walked because of how well he's playing. The Rockies are playing well as well, which is really cool to see. And Charlie Blackman is by no means a small part in that. Charlie Blackman is actually a huge part of it and the driver behind the Colorado Rockies recent success. Another guy, former Colorado Rocky, he's doing really well. DJ LeMay, who continues to lead the American League in batting average. The New York Yankees, a team that I talked about last podcast, are still unreal. They are still playing at a very high level. Aaron Judge did sit out a game, but I do not believe it's a serious injury. I don't believe it's a big injury relation type thing. I believe they just rested him or they saw like a minor thing was wrong with him and then wanted to fix it up. They wanted to make sure he was okay because obviously he's a very precious player. He's got like 8 home runs right now. Giancarlo Stanton's hitting the baseball. DJ LeMay, who's obviously hitting the baseball. And Zach Britton, their closer, is the saves leader in the MLB. It is awesome to see baseball being played again. As big of a mess as it is right now with the MLB, with the Houston Astros, with the Cleveland Indians, everything like that, it's still fun to see baseball being played. It's still fun to see a young team like the Miami Marlins defy all odds and have a really, really solid start to the year. It's cool. If you're not tuned into the baseball season, first of all, I don't know why I'd be listening to this, but if you're not tuned in and you're for some reason listening to us, you should really tune into this year's baseball season. It's new, it's real, and it's short. So it's not like those 162-game seasons where you have to be a real fan to kind of stick with it. It's a short season. You can handle it. Give baseball a taste. If you're just listening to this podcast because you know me and you like to listen to this show, give baseball a taste this season. It could be really, really, really interesting. There's news coming out of the MLB every day, which isn't necessarily the best news, but it's news and it's interesting to watch. And it is America's pastime. So be sure to check out the Major League season this year. I've had a good time paying attention to it. One more thing that I would like to touch on before I end this episode is it came up that they would need the bubble system for playoffs, meaning they quarantine everyone for 2 weeks, and then they bring everyone into this isolated area, and they have the playoffs in one or two stadiums, and no one's allowed to leave. It's kind of what it's exactly what the NBA is doing. It's what the NHL is doing, and it's worked fantastically well for both those leagues. They have no need to social distance with people inside the bubble, which is really, really cool. If the MLB has playoffs, then there will absolutely be the need for a bubble. There is no way that the MLB would be able to pull off the playoffs without it, because if one person gets coronavirus and a team has to shut down in the middle of the playoffs, it will look horrible for the MLB. Not only will it look horrible, it'll be horrible for the players, for the MLB, for everyone. I think it's imperative that the MLB make a bubble for the playoffs. They honestly should have done it for the entire season, but it's logistically challenging. It's quite logistically challenging. It's very challenging. And now we're kind of seeing the ramifications of them not doing it, obviously, with Clevinger and Plesac and everything like that, and the coronavirus cases on the Marlins and Cardinals. But for the playoffs, there absolutely has to be a bubble. There really, really needs to be one. I'm a staunch supporter of that, and I hope to see that. If anyone who's listening to this podcast has pull in or around the MLB, that has to get done. It absolutely, absolutely needs to get done. Thank you guys so much for listening to episode 44 of the World of Baseball podcast. Be sure to check the World of Baseball podcast website, where all the information you need about the podcast or want about the podcast can be found. If you want to support the podcast, you can do that for as little as 99 cents a month. You can find the link to do that on the World of Baseball podcast website. Who would have known? That link of that website is in the podcast description. As always, thank you guys so much for listening. Have a great day. If you like what you're hearing from the World of Baseball podcast, please consider supporting. The link is in the podcast description. Thank you so much and have a good day.